Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. Okay. Just an update for those of you who are dog people like me. My dog Mo that I talk about every now and then is going through a hard time right now. He was diagnosed with cancer about four weeks now. He has a tumor that has taken over her retina. She can't see out of that eye, but she's on chemotherapy. And we're hoping and praying that it will shrink the tumor and she won't have to lose that eye. The other thing that I wanted to add, wait a minute. As you know, I lie all the time when I tell you that I'm organized. I am not organized. And I don't know what I did with that paper. But anyway, maybe it'll come to me later. I had a list of websites from, YouTube and TikTok and just the internet in general that I thought would be not just interesting but helpful. And I seem to put the paper down as usual. And the paper seems to walk away from me because I don't have it. I'm looking, but it's not there. Okay, we'll find it. I hope you're out there listening. We've been absent from the podcast. We got really, really sick with allergies this season. I mean, it's the worst I've ever had. Affected my eyesight, my throat, everything. And I'm still dealing with it, but I'm much better off. But that's why we have been absent. Okay. Let's see. I'm still looking. Okay, we'll start with that. Patriotism. Our world is so crazy now. Wars and rumors of war. And I personally think America is overdue for some of that terrible happenings to happen here on our soil. We are just so out of sync as human beings, and it just makes me sad. I wish I could do something, but I don't know what to do except pray. This poem, Patriotism, talks a little bit about Black participation in the military, in supporting our country and so forth. This is way back, because the perception is that we haven't done anything, but we participated in every single war on the planet. But anyway, patriotism. First, only in battle. Say we should feel honored. Question our patriotism must prove by being cannon fodder. More than an equal opportunity to die, never an equal opportunity to live, but yet we pledge allegiance. Okay.
I like that. That's very fitting now, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. You know what? For a long period of time, I watched CNN and MSNBC to stay on top of what's happening in the world. And then it got to be just a headache, and I just stopped watching it and listening to it. But the world has gotten so crazy, you can even feel the craziness when you go outside your house. At least I do. And And today I was watching. I went back to watching, and it's scary to me. The students. Where was this? I think this is New York. Is it Columbia University? The Palestinian students and the Jewish students, the conflict they're having, their rallies and protests are very, very scary to me, you know. But anyway, pray. That's, you know.
Yeah, that's the best solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is this little poem is directed at us. Well, what I'm trying to say in it is that we need to get back together. We need unity, and we need to learn our history. You know. And with so many ways to access the history nowadays, it just boggles my mind that a lot of our kids still don't have a clue as to the strength and beauty of their own race and the contributions we've made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is called Function at the Junction.
Okay.
In vogue Negroes wearing Korean-made kente cloth, going to a black function to practice handshakes foreign to their loyalties and alien to their souls. Did you get that?
I sure did.
And
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
You know how we dress up for a black holiday or African American gala, what do you call it, gala, you know, and they wear their African cloth accents and stuff. But other than going to that function, they'd never put it on, you know.
Don't have a clue.
Don't have a clue as to what it means. You
That's
know.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. This one. I don't think I've ever read this one. It's called Nigger Price. and you already know what it's a different price. Nigger Price. 5, 10, 15, 20. 25, 30. One price is his, the other is mine, for the same thing, no less. Do you understand? What's your guess? One price is his, the other is mine. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Now, ain't that dirty? You know how they change prices. Well, they still do
change
prices.
That's right.
You know,
and that's
go
wrong.
In different neighborhoods. Yeah, go in different neighborhoods and different places, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. This is called Power. Okay. That's the other thing that's bugging me. This for months now, or could have been longer than that, but for months I've been paying attention to this ongoing dialogue that's being put out there about black men not wanting black women and black women not wanting black men, you know. And to me, there's the devil's in the details, I'll say that, why this is being promoted. In songs, is promoted in these even these TV shows and stuff. But anyway, Power, that's the name of this one. It's real short. The black sweat of your battle sweetens our togetherness, solidifies our oneness. Only we can turn hate into love. What magic, what wonder, what power.
That's nice. I liked it.
Yeah. You know, because they've been having all this stuff, but they call them black men passport bros, that they go abroad to find a female, you know, to find a mate, wife, whatever. The statistics, I don't know them by heart or anything like that, but the statistics say that black men are the largest group that go outside of their race for a mate.
I believe that.
Especially
when they get famous, and whether it's sports, entertainment, and making a little money. Yep.
I mean, I'm just so sad for us, because we can do better. We need to recognize exactly what the plan is that's been put out there, and why are we following somebody else's plan? You know what I mean? It's so sad. And it's scary, because it takes away from us as a group of people. We're the only people. We're so at each other's throat. I don't hear many accolades coming from any of us towards each other, you know. But the powers that be in the media, they love promoting all those negative songs that call black women whores and bitches.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
And the foul language just. Oh,
that's,
I knew
what
it was
that language.
Go ahead. Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. That just made me. It just flashed across my head. Nick Cannon was interviewed. Did you see the interview? Dr. Umar Johnson interviewed him. I've got to send you that. I'm going to send you that. I know I saved it on my phone. And he questions him and asks him, does he like black women? Because every woman, I think it's, 12 of them or whatever, he's got 12 or 13 children and just as many partners that made those children. And they're all of another race, you know. And he and Dr. Umar Johnson had this interview. I just saw that.
Well, what was he saying during the interview?
He was questioning why he chose outside of his race to have children. Did he not like black women? Did he not find them attractive? What led him to, you know, and he goes on and on. I'm not going to try to interpret it. I'll send you that interview. And Nick Cannon, I tell you, oh my goodness. Well, you know my feelings about Nick Cannon and that terrible show he had, Wildin' Out.
I never saw the show.
Well, you didn't miss nothing. I never saw the full show either. But the snippet of it that I saw made me want to vomit. And right away, I knew the powers that be promoted that show. That show was on like 4 or 5 times a day. A day, do you hear me? And I said, why is this show? It's a filthy show. There were no boundaries in that show, meaning the language was disgusting. There were no boundaries between men and women. There were no age boundaries. You know, when I grew up, and I had three sisters, I could only play with children who were my age.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest, I could not hang with my oldest sister, you know. They weren't in my age group. Was it like that for you also?
Oh, yeah. That's why I was saying a lot of it, you know, a lot of things can be contained and controlled and improved if certain values were taught in that home.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But this is why I just wanted to punch Nick Cannon in the face, I said, if I ever met him, for that filthy show, because that show had adults. And I'm talking, those people were from 20, 30, 40, even 50s, and maybe a couple of 60-year-olds with foul mouths, okay? I mean, vulgar. But he also had children on the show who were like, I guess, middle school age. And I was just blown away.
See, that's a shame.
And the whole, a shame. And I said the whole purpose of that was to make it all right to behave in that manner, to speak in that manner, you know. And it was all this sexual innuendo. Wasn't no innuendo. They just came out and said filthy
that's
things.
Ugly. That's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of grown-ups, they're going to say what they want. They use ugly language in front of kids, ugly language in front of elderly people. I mean, grown old people themselves.
I know.
And not giving a second thought.
Exactly.
It
is a shame, and it's bringing us down.
Right.
It's bringing us down. Our youth don't like themselves, and they disrespect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Their mothers,
and
their fathers,
right,
their grandparents.
From grown ups.
Yeah.
They get it right from grown ups.
This is another short poem I wrote about rap music. It's called Genocide. Hip hop's misogynistic, vulgar renderings, loud, repugnant, relentlessly fill the airwaves, killing the children.
That's exactly what it's doing.
And that's why it gets promoted, because it's filling a plan that's been in the works since we've been here to destroy us, and we fail to recognize our part in it.
We fall right into the trap, right into the trap, and don't ever start making a little bit of money off of it. Making a little bit of money off of it, no way I think they get worse, and it's no way they would back off and use something wholesome and something that can help a young people. No, They make money off of trash, and when they see they can sell that trash, you can't stop them then.
But the added part to that. And this is another, you ought to listen to Dr. Umar Johnson. Well, he could listen to us because everything he says we've already been through. But he knows the statistics, and he was talking about the black celebrities, black sports players, all of these ones who are making that money. And how very little, if any, of the money that they're making do they bring to the black community, you know. And and he was saying, and part of that is by design, because they're owned. They are the, I forgot what he called them, the clowns or the buffoons. They are owned. They are the new slaves, because they don't. Once you make that kind of money, you don't want to give that up.
Oh,
and
no,
so it's
they
held
not.
Over their heads. You know what I'm saying? And so they ignore the needs in our community. It's such a mess. It's just a mess out here.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one. I don't know why I'm on this afternoon, but this is called. I was writing. How would I write a map? How would I tell somebody how to get to my house? And this is called Baltimore Directory. When looking for my house, look for the landmarks. Follow the trail of overflowing trash cans and blue plastic bags flying like balloons or hanging on the branches like leaves. Just past the second pile of eviction trash, the pile with the Beyonce poster, make a right, go two more blocks, and then park by Big Bill's Liquors, right next to the Amen Church of God.
Mm-mm-mm.
If Big Bill's lot is full, because it usually is, park on the other side of the church in the New York Fried Chicken lot. We're laughing, but we know that's true.
Oh, I was getting ready to say, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just accepted those circumstances.
Uh-huh.
and play a big part in the circumstances being what they are, you know.
That's right.
Oh, God. Okay, let me see. I'm on my old activist mode right now.
Now, what was that called, Lucy?
Oh, Lord, I just threw it down here in the pile. Wait a minute. Now, you know this don't make no sense. Oh, here it is. Baltimore. I'm telling you, I'm sitting in this chair, and I got papers all around. Okay. Baltimore Directory.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. And you could have just about any city and call it that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see. I'm reaching. Hold on a second. And our schools, don't get me started. Number one, the curriculums of all school, all of them, are way behind the times. It has not kept up with what is happening in this world technologically and all that other stuff, you know. So you're going to have a bunch of dummies or tech people graduating. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Tech is not for everybody. But the thing about it, when I said dummies, I shouldn't have said that, but you're going to have some less intelligent people in these generations that come because, what do they call it? AI.
Yeah,
artificial intelligence.
Crazy word is.
In artificial intelligence, where these kids can go on a computer and tell the AI, Lord have mercy, I don't even know what I'm talking, tell the AI, I want a essay on
right
the civil rights movement, and it will do
mm-hmm.
it. And then all they got to do is print it out.
Right.
Now this started a long time ago. Hey, I've been here for a while because my nieces, who are grown women now and have their own families, used to come to my house to use my computer to do their, you know, homework and type their homework and stuff. And, of course, I'm sitting right there because, you know, teacher, watching, see if they get it right. And I watch, I'm not going to call her name, but I watch my niece cut and paste. She didn't read diddly squat. I said, is your teacher going to accept that? Don't you have to talk about your paper when you go to school? Honey, she could have cared less.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I have to tell you this because it happened first semester. My little grandson, the older one, he's in the ninth grade at Independence. In his World Lit class, I forgot what they were discussing. And DJ really enjoyed the discussion, and they had to write an essay. And he, you know, we walked around the blocks every time he was telling me the three-pointers and stuff that he was going to use. And so he told me when the teacher gave him the paper back, the teacher told him that when he read the paper, he felt like he had copied his essay from the computer. And the teacher, the teacher said when he saw the look on DJ's face, that's when he realized he was wrong. Isn't that a shame?
It's more than a shame, because that tells me that that teacher's doing the same thing those other kids are doing.
Right.
Cut and paste.
All right. My daughter called the teacher that night. She said, I was wrong. I apologize to your son. You don't have to tell me anything. I know your son is gifted and this and that. But he was so sure, because I guess you can do it. And he told DJ what made him realize he hadn't done it. When he saw the look on DJ's face, DJ was so disappointed in the teacher thinking that he had copied the essay.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll
tell you another thing too, Lucy. This is what gets me. I don't really use the computer that much typing stuff because I'm not a fast type anything. If you notice now, if you get ready to write something, it'll start writing for you. That's what got me. I thought to myself, I don't need it. That's not what I had planned to say. You know, just like you're going to read my thoughts. I'm getting ready to write this sentence, and they're going to just go on and finish the sentence for me.
Exactly. And then another part to that is they correct the grammar or punctuation.
You know,
it just knocks you out of the whole process.
How you gonna
These
ever
kids aren't
learn?
Gonna learn anything. They aren't
That's
gonna
right.
learn
How
anything.
How you gonna ever learn?
It's just like everybody walking around with these stupid smartphones and can't remember anybody's phone number because you got it's in your phone. You know, you just push a button or whatever. Girl, I do not like today's world, but this is what I said about the schools, and of course this is many years ago when I wrote this, but it's called When the Chalk Dust Settles.
When the chalk what?
When the chalk dust settles.
Okay, good.
Okay. Stamp them in. Stamp them out. Seat work until they cry out. Some teachers come early to jumpstart the day, not with lessons, but with Wesson oil and eggs. Stamp them in, stamp them out. In your seat, no moving about. Some teachers stay late, but not with papers to grade, but for gossip, cheese eating, and secret dates they made. No time to educate children's mind. Got 5 more classes before the end of the day.
That is so
stamp
true.
Stamp them in. Stamp
that
them
is
out.
So true.
Train the child to obey. Education is the key to the future. 'Tis true, but we'd better rethink where to get it and from whom. After I retired, I had substituted a couple times before I went back to work at another place. And these teachers, the new generation of teachers, you remember how much time you spent in the evening after you got home from work on weekend when you were off writing lesson plans, making things. No, they don't even write their own lesson plan. They've got notebooks that they give them, whatever their subject is, like, say, social studies, and then it'll have all these questions to put before the children, and it tells you what the answer is, and then it tells you sample answers you can accept from the children. I said, what the heck is going on?
That's a shame, right.
That's a shame. Mm-hmm. The teachers don't even know the subject matter. It's already printed out in a big old notebook for you. Answers that you should, I mean, questions that you should ask the children, written out. That means the teacher ain't doing nothing either.
Right, nothing. Nothing.
Mm. Lord have mercy, Jesus. We in bad shape.
We are. We really are.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Let me do something funny. Well, I don't know if this is funny or not. Mr. Melvin Slick Johnson. He was a bad motor scooter. Everybody knew his name. Designer suits and silk shirts were the trademarks of his game. He was a bad dap daddy. Kept his due sleek and fine, like black patent leather. His locks were greased and spit shined. He was a bad mamma jamma. Four gold caps on his smile. Never mind he never visited or spent a dime on his child. He was a bad lover man. Sweet talked a whole lot of skirts. A love 'em and leave 'em sugar daddy, who left a long trail of hurt. He was a lonely old fool who eventually reaped what he sowed. He thought he'd always be cool. Thought he'd never grow old.
That's good. I like that. I like the way you did that progression. That was coming, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, his end was coming. See how
you
bad
know how
he
you
thought it was then.
Mm-hmm. Like you go to these family reunions and old Uncle Bud. Here he comes, he about 65, and he got his shirt unbuttoned down to the middle of his chest, and he got a gold chain on, and when he smiled, the sun bounces off of his gold teeth, you know. Oh, Lord.
You can't tell him a thing, though. You can't tell him a thing.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I don't know what I'm doing. Let me see. Okay. I'm flipping pages. Okay, let me see. Okay, I'll do this. This is one of my favorite poems, and not what it says, it's favorite because it's highlighting. I wrote it many years ago, but the same thing is still going on. But Black Apocalypse.
Okay, Black Apocalypse.
Children dying, black brains frying off the dope put into veins. Wait a minute. Men abandoning their seeds and streets, turning bloodstained. Little girls get their menses before they can even spell their name and get caught with spotted panties because they don't understand why or what, and nobody has the time to explain. Daddy's gone. And mama's too busy trying to make a dollar out of a dime. And so children give birth to babies that become the next lost generation, growing like weeds, without direction, waiting to be kinlawed to death.
Mm, and that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening.
Yeah, it is.
No, it really
because the thing about it, we got so much talent within our community, so much
mm-hmm.
talent, and I, in one of these notebooks I write in, I was trying to keep up. It was so many, I couldn't keep up with it, and I was surprised and happy about it. Of these smart young kids, I forgot how many were, but anyway, like the young black kids who have finished school at 14 and 15 are in college, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They finish school at 14 or 15, and they're going to the best all the colleges want them, but you don't hear about it. You have to search for that information. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They don't
mm-hmm.
they don't really put that information out there for not just our community, but the whole of people to see and understand that there is a wealth of talent within this black community. You know,
that is there. Anyway. You are right. That talent
mm-hmm.
is there.
Yeah, but they don't advertise it. They
mm-hmm.
don't.
That's
they
right.
Don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you happen to catch it one night or afternoon as you're watching the news, or you see it written, or somebody
mm-hmm.
tells you about it, but they don't. They don't give any. What do you call it? They don't give any. I forgot the word, and they don't give any time to it. They don't give any credence to it, you know.
That's right.
It's just crazy.
They don't address it at all. It's like it doesn't exist.
Exist, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see where we are. another thing I heard. I wrote it down, and I put a star by it, which means I'm supposed to go back and find out more information about it. But it had to do with somebody was making a comment about this Alex Haley's story, Roots.
Oh, okay.
And he was saying it was fictional, and they were getting into a discussion about where it came from and blah, blah, and blah, blah, you know. And I'm saying, boy, they just, anyway, I know I love Roots, boy, but anyway.
Oh, I
did
too. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is called Validation and.
Called what?
Validation. And why did I write this? If I recall, my frame of reference at that time was how we were treated as slaves. And, it's called validation. The mirror validates me. That deep burnt red lipstick on my full lips validates me. My man validates me as he enters my warm and loving home, holding him safe and soothing him, bathing him in my lotion of love, strengthening him against the next day of hate. You validate me as you drench your skin in oil and bake like fried fish fillets on the skillets of the white, black, brown, and pink sand beaches of the world. Your man's eyes validate me as he not so slyly follows the swagger of my walk, wetting his lips at the curve of my bow legs and panting after the ample cup of my black booty. And he continues his validation, time is spelled as adoration, as he mutilates you with silicone lips, breasts, and butts for an hourglass figure that was modeled after my hips that carried your bales of cotton, and my breasts that fed your children the milk of life, as their skinny legs were wrapped around and clenched around my sensual waist. Best of all, my mama's and daddy's love validates me. But above all, God validates me. In his image, I am made.
Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful.
Y'all, we blacks are beautiful, period. Okay. Let me see. Of course, I don't eat them pages.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Let's see. I'm coming. Okay. I'll do this one. I don't even know. What time is it? You know, I don't like my phone. They don't put the time is on it, but it's so tiny, I can't see it.
Yeah, it's 7:41.
7:41. Okay. 7:41. Okay. Okay. I was looking for that poem, Echo. That you had mentioned the other day. Hold on. I'm sorry, I just have to. You'd think I'd have this stuff organized. But it's not the case. Hold on, folks. Let's see. I don't want to get. I was looking for Echo. Was the poem I wanted to. Oh, Mississippi River Tour. Oh, I found it. Can't believe it. I actually found it, Ann.
Well, that's good.
Okay. Okay. Echo. Something similar. Something that repeats, imitates, or is reminiscent of something else. Trayvon Martin. Michael Brown. Echo. Amadou Diallo. Armed. Bronx, New York, February 4th, 1999. A fuselage of 41 bullets riddled his body as he lay in his life's blood, shots fired even into the soles of his feet, as if he were some mystical monster that would rise again. Echo, a repetition of sound, produced by the reflection of sound waves from a wall, a mountain, or other obstructing surface, such as a black body. You stand back loudly silent to make sure you are not identified with that black, bloody body in the street. Your silence is deafening, ensuring the echo will repeat again and again and again and again, thugs, animals, criminals, niggas, echo, something similar, something that repeats, imitates, or is reminiscent of something else, echo, a repetition. That's it. You know, the young man that I referred to, Amadou Diallo, who was murdered by these cops in New York City, was murdered outside where, right outside his apartment building. And he had just gotten off from work. His work, he was a vendor, okay? he was from Africa. I forget which country. And but anyway, and he was assaulted by these police. 41 bullets, one man and several cops. And he was just a street vendor getting home from work. Black folks are a walking miracle to still be here with the constant attacks and the fear we have to walk through to live. Anyway. Okay. I don't know what time it is. Okay. Flipping again.
That's all right. At least you can flip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, I just realized the reason this stuff is so out of order, because I'm literally sitting in the chair. I have a pile at the top of my toes. I have a pile on my left side and a pile on my right side. And I have a pile in my lap. I'm serious. And now I just realized why this stuff's so out of order. Because when I get off of this podcast, I'm just going to gather them all up and put them back in the bag. I don't put them in order. But anyway, crazy. This is in Mama's house. My mother did not like this. She did not like this poem I wrote. Called In Mama's House.
Okay.
Couldn't do nothing on Saturdays unless you first got ready for Sunday. For Sunday school and church, which was a whole day away. That meant find your white blouse and your pleated skirt and shine your patent leather shoes with Vaseline.
Uh-huh.
Mama sure could be mean. Made no difference if the neighbor kids were outside running and playing and laughing and screaming. This was Mama's house, and Mama didn't play that. First
right.
things first was Mama's way. But we did, as she said, cleaned our rooms, made up our beds, took our dirty clothes downstairs. This wasn't the time to be cute or curt or for sure. Your behind would hurt. On to the kitchen and sweep the floor, wash the dishes, and wipe the fingerprints off the refrigerator door. By the time you were finished, Saturday was almost gone, and you only wanted to nap. You know, when we were growing up, you only had certain hours to play. And that
That's right.
didn't begin until your chores were done first.
That's
then you could
exactly
go outside,
right.
and we'd be the last ones coming outside. All the other kids been outside. And
uh-huh.
then we'd be the last ones coming, and then we'd be the first ones to get called back in because
That's
we had
right.
to come in, take a bath, and
Let
take a nap. And then we get to go back outside, but we couldn't get off the steps. For the second time outside, you could only sit there.
Oh, they were in a tight shield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I wrote this poem. I don't know if I can find it. When's the last time you heard a jump rope rhyme?
Oh, I remember the jump rope.
Yeah. That's the title of the poem, but I don't know if I can find it. I'm looking for it right now, but I wrote that thinking about the childhood things we did and and things we did and how we were able to get along with other kids and share and stuff like that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. Right.
I don't see any of that anymore.
It's not there. If you don't watch, you get
gone.
An argument, especially if they're playing basketball, you know.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And another thing, there's good and bad with everything, pros and cons.
this technology stuff, these kids don't know how to play. They don't even know these games we talk about. Remember,
right,
we used to play jacks?
Mm-hmm.
You remember
we
used to play hopscotch? Yep.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. We used to get so excited where we took our shoes. Well, they don't do that now. They just throw it in the trash. But we used to take our daddy, go with daddy and take our shoes up to the shoe shop where the man would put new heels on them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he would give us, he would give each one of us one of the old run-down heels, and we would use those heels to play hopscotch with.
That's true.
You know, to throw it in the, you know,
yeah,
the square.
Yeah, remember how you would throw it?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Those were some good days.
Yes, indeed. Oh, and we're old enough to say that I remember the good old days. No,
oh, yeah, that's true.
That's
true. I bet you black families didn't have the problems there that they're having now.
I know.
Mm-mm.
Heck no, because especially if you you always had to be in sight, you know.
That's right.
You couldn't. You had to be in eyesight.
That's right.
And if you wandered from that perimeter, don't you know that Miss So-and-so up the street will be telling your mother and father, or she'll come out and tell you to get back down the street, and she'll stand there and watch you, you know, until you got home. And then that's when mama be waiting, and you had to pick out, you know, you had to pick out your little branch to get your butt whipped. And now I look back, like you said, those were the good old days. I don't
little
know what these children are going to look back on. I'm sorry, I'm taking so long. I was trying to find when's the last time you had a jump rope run? I'm sorry, y'all. I can't find it. I know it's here, but how much time I got?
It's 7:52.
Oh, okay. Okay, got a minute. Oh, my goodness. I give up. I'll just do this one that's in front of me, and then I'm going to stop with this one. This is called Nobody's Counting. As soon as I said Ann, it went right out of my head. But
Nobody's
you
Counting?
Know, they had, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, okay. This is about old people back in the day, how they were treated. It made me think of, oh, I know what it's called, the Federal Writers Project. You remember that, Ann? When the government went around getting stories from former slaves and stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that is some, it tears me up reading it, but it is so, it needs to be put out there. But anyway, that's what this made me think of. Nobody's Counting. I love the company of the old folks. So much wisdom they have to share. So much strength to gain from their stories of overcome struggle and pain. The only thing I hate is when I ask their age and the answer comes back, near as I can figure. You see, back then, nobody was counting niggas. This treatment of a human being was only seen as being black. That's it.
That's powerful, and that is so true.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to cut this short, you guys.
I thank you for tuning in.
Oh, and, yeah, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it also.
Oh, thanks. Who's that? I didn't mean to say it like that. Is that Odessa?
This is Sylvia.
Yes. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? You say you're fine. You're fine.
I thank you for tuning in, and sorry I couldn't find my papers, but that's I need to stop saying that.
Yes,
you know,
because you've shared some beautiful poetry tonight.
Yes,
I enjoy every bit of it.
When you did that echo, it was I could feel the shots going in that man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think. And he's not the Amadou Diallo, a beautiful young African young man. His mother, they even interviewed her on TV about that, and it wasn't that long ago. But when they killed him, mm-hmm. one man, several police officers, 41 bullets. That was just like target practice. You know what I'm saying? They weren't running after him. They weren't chasing him. They just stopped him on the street in front of where he lives. Coming, you know, he has worked all day with his, I don't know what he sold or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. He was an innocent black man was murdered. You know,
how many bullets does it take to kill one?
That's why I said in that piece, like they think he'll rise again. They're so scared of blackness, you know. And it's not only that, they've got a license to do it, you know.
Yeah, that's what's tragic.
That is, because we're the only group of people who are killed like that by police.
Right.
You know, think about that. Whenever a black child, and you might as well say women,